This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of October 6th, 2019. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 102. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support the Breaker. On this edition, the Is It Just Me commentary, headlines from around the Pacific Rim and Pacific Northwest. On the Big Deal feature, what does Stephen Koo stand for? Highlights of my interview with the Trudeau Liberal candidate for Richmond Centre. And another historical Justin Trudeau bozo eruption. And I will award a Nanaimo bar to those making a difference. Now, is it just me? Is it just me, or did Canada's fragile democracy suffer even more when the Monk foreign policy debate was cancelled? Leaders were supposed to face questions about Canada's foreign policy on October 1st, but Liberal Justin Trudeau refused to attend. So the organizers eventually pulled the plug, rather than carry on with the others and leave an empty chair with Trudeau's name. Former drama teacher Trudeau is good with a script, but he is bad at improv. So Trudeau's handlers obviously feared losing a debate and losing votes. He is vulnerable. Attendance at such a debate should be mandatory. Canadians have a right to hear and see Trudeau face the music for that comedic trip to India, his relations with China, as two Canadians languish in jail as political prisoners, and his handling of free trade negotiations with the Trump administration. What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim. Fiona Sun reports in the South China Morning Post, Hong Kong's domestic helpers from Indonesia and the Philippines struggle through fear and pain of protest crisis. Nearly 4 months of anti-government protests have become increasingly violent, and among those affected are more than 398,000 foreign domestic helpers. The majority are from the Philippines and Indonesia. With more helpers spending less time or staying home on their days off to avoid trouble and inconvenience, complaints have surfaced that some are being made to work without compensation on their rest days. Helpers have a rest day each week and tend to congregate in public areas, Filipinos mostly in Central, and Indonesia's at Victoria Park and Causeway Bay. Both places have shopping centers, restaurants, and banks that cater to their needs. As Central and Causeway Bay are regular protest sites, most domestic workers return home earlier than before. In the Japan Times, Rugby World Cup organizers hit target of 1.8 million tickets sold, but warn of scams. Rugby World Cup organizers announced Friday they had hit their target of selling 1.8 million tickets, despite fears that crowds might be sparse in Japan, not a traditional rugby nation. Fans have turned out in their droves, packing stadiums even for games not involving tournament heavyweights. However, there have been inevitable incidents related to ticket scams, touts selling fake tickets, and third-party websites selling tickets unofficially, with some fans who bought seats illegally being denied entry to games. Official ticket prices vary widely, from $936 for the best seats at the final to less than $20 for the cheapest entry to the pool game between the United States and Tonga. Simon Jackman and Elliot Brennan write in ABC News Australia, Australian leaders have the political capital to take a look at our relationship with China. Officially, Australian policy pronouncements are less direct, even while several Australian government initiatives, the Pacific Step Up, denying Huawei access to Australia's 5G rollout, foreign interference legislation, and close scrutiny of Australian universities' exposure to China, have been unambiguously driven by a similar set of concerns motivating U.S. policy. All have been well received in the U.S. Nonetheless, American officials privately expressed frustrations that Australia has not been more assertive with Beijing. Foreign influence in Australian politics is one of the key dynamics that has shaped the debate about its relationship with Beijing. Scandals around political donations linked to foreign sources have catalyzed a broader set of Australian anxieties about China. Since the 1930s, individuals in the U.S. who represent foreign states have been required to register as foreign agents, and for decades, political donations from foreign entities have been banned at every level of U.S. politics. Australia only made similar moves in 2018. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest. John Canzano writes in The Oregonian, MLB to PDX effort builds hope that Rob Manfred will hear the playoff cheers from Portland. A petition on the Portland Diamond Project website is closing in on 40,000 verified signatures. If the group that wants to bring Major League Baseball to Portland opened the doors for season ticket deposits today, you can bet the phone lines would crash, and within 24 hours, they'd be in the top half of the league in attendance. What's new with the Portland Diamond Project? Stadium renderings done. Multiple real estate sites locked down. More than $1.5 billion in private financial commitments secured. Groups in Montreal and Nashville are also expressing interest in Major League Baseball. Benjamin Romano reports in the Seattle Times, Microsoft is doing away with in-person shareholder meeting, joining virtual-only trend. Microsoft, which for several years has enabled shareholders to attend its annual meetings virtually, recently said it will do away with the in-person option this year, joining a trend that's been gaining momentum across corporate America. Shareholder advocates say something vital is being lost. A company spokesman did not directly address a question about whether shareholder questions submitted to the virtual shareholder meeting would be pre-screened before being aired, noting that rules of conduct, including details of how questions will be taken, will be posted in advance of the December 4th meeting. Last year, some 285 companies hosted virtual meetings using software from Broadridge Financial Solutions, which counts Microsoft among its customers. This week in the Breaker.News, these headlines. Suspended BC Legislature Sergeant-at-Arms Gary Lenz quits. Lawyer for Canadian government accuses Meng Wanzhou's legal dream team of hatching a conspiracy theory. Kelowna's Stewart back in the BC Liberal caucus but stays silent on reasons for elections BC probe. Exclusive video. Pro-China protesters says she volunteered for Trudeau Liberals' re-election campaign. Read the stories behind these headlines. Go to thebreaker.news. This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. What does Stephen Koo stand for? On September 9th, I sat down with accountant Stephen Koo in his Richmond office, more than a week after he was appointed as the Trudeau Liberal candidate in Richmond Centre. The incumbent is Conservative Alice Wong, the Member of Parliament since 2008. Koo was the runner-up in 2015 in Vancouver Kingsway to Don Davies. Liberal Koo finished 8,000 votes behind the NDP incumbent. In 2014, Koo spoke out against the Harper Conservative government's cancellation of the controversial Investor Class program. He's the vice president of the Canada Chinese Investors and Entrepreneurs Association. Wealthy immigrants who invested $1.6 million or more in a Canadian business were fast-tracked for citizenship. At the time the Harper Conservatives canceled the program, Koo predicted economic crisis for BC. But the opposite happened. Koo is a Surrey resident, and should he upset Wong on October 21st and become an MP, he promises to shut down his business and move to Richmond. But those were among the only firm positions that Koo took during the wide-ranging interview. I asked Koo about Prime Minister Justin Trudeau being found in conflict of interest over the SNC-Lavalin scandal. I also asked Koo about birth tourism in Richmond, whether he had concerns about money laundering affecting the economy and the housing market. And I asked about his position on the Hong Kong pro-democracy protest movement, the jailing of Canadians Michael Kovrig and Michael Spavor, and human rights abuses in China. All issues that relate to Richmond because it's the biggest ethnic Chinese city in Canada. Here are excerpts of my interview with Richmond Centre Liberal Party candidate Stephen Koo.
There are people that are very concerned, though, not just in other political parties, but just the general population, that the amount of investment, especially that came from China, that got into the real estate industry has made it very unaffordable in Vancouver and caused a lot of scarcity in the housing market for affordable housing, for rental housing. As much as that money did come and do some good things, it also came and caused problems in that other governments are having to catch up with, the provincial government and the municipal governments. And then there's the other issue as well of money laundering that has happened that is a big concern, especially here in Richmond.
Okay, for this issue, first of all, regarding the money laundering, I didn't see any numbers, I didn't have any statistics, I didn't read any detailed report. Report about those kind of things. So for these parts, I don't know exactly. So I cannot give any recommendation on these parts. But for the real estate investor and investment and for other investment, this is the nature of the business. And the money wants to sink in the profit, and the government's job is to regulate the investment. If the government think okay, there is something is a little bit wrong or there is a problems over there, the government's job is to have the prediction. Okay, maybe there will be a problems in the future, and we need to do the regulation, and we need to prevent, or we need to make some plans in advance to avoid the disaster situation happened. So this is a two side. One is investors and the invest money. Okay, they seeking the profit, but the government. Okay, they need to find the genius people, and they need the regulation and to prevent the bad things happened. So this is why I would like to join the politics. I want to contribute my knowledge. I want to contribute my my vision, and I want to compute my things to help the people, to help the community, and to contribute myself to the government to make the things going on the correct directions. Yeah.
British Columbia government, the BC NDP government, has done a couple of very big reports released earlier this year, one by Peter German, another by Maureen Maloney, looking at the effects of money laundering on the Metro Vancouver area from different aspects. And they've also started a public inquiry. They're supposed to have public hearings in the public inquiry starting in the new year. So they want to find out and get to the bottom of it and find some justice. And the federal government needs to be a party to that, because the federal government does control immigration.
For this part, just like I said, okay, because I didn't read the report, and for that area, I didn't put too many energies to read or research do it, and I didn't do any research on that part. So for this part, I don't have any idea about it. Yeah.
Another issue here in Richmond in the past several years is birth tourism. And Joe Pescasolito endorsed a petition that several, I think 12,000, 13,000 people signed to Parliament to get the government to study it and to strengthen immigration controls. What do you think of that issue? Because that has caused problems in some neighborhoods where some houses have become basically birth hotels for foreign mothers, and there's been an increase in foreign births at Richmond Hospital, and that's caused some local mothers, local families that can't have their baby at their hospital in their hometown, and they've got to go somewhere else, while someone who comes and pays cash from another country, most often China, gets in front of the line at the Richmond Hospital.
Yeah. For these parts, okay, I think it's very complicated situation. It's not only for the cost of our Canadian resources, okay, their medical resources and their hospital resources and everything, and there is also related with okay, how can we think the constitutions in our country, right? So we need to, this is this is very complicated. And another thing is, okay, when we think and when we make a decision, an important decision for a certain issues, definitely, okay, the pre-research and all the data and is very important, because if we don't have the exactly details, if we don't have the exactly the research data, and if we don't get some suggestions and opinions and ideas from the professionals or professors, so if we doing something without the very very solid foundations, maybe it's not good. So we needed to do the research, and we needed to listen to the voices from the different area and the different professionals, and then maybe in the future, there are some policies directly and specifically deal with the issue in the future.
There already is enough data about Richmond, especially, and Joe Pescasolito has some of the data, and he supported that petition because of that concern. And the mayor of Richmond, Malcolm Brody, has spoken out.
Yeah.
So there is enough data about Richmond, maybe not about other parts of Canada, but Richmond is definitely a big issue.
Okay. And for this situation, because just like I said, okay, we need the data, we need the professors' ideas and the different opinion from different areas. And for me, I didn't read too much about this area. So for this area, I'm not a specialized on this side, but definitely, okay, if in the future, if I have a chance to to look at the data, look at the information, definitely I will do my good job to do it. This is for sure, because right now I didn't know too much about it, so for now it's very hard for me to see something. But in the future, if just like I said, okay, if I have a chance, if I have these opportunities, definitely I will look at it and I will make a decision. It's better and it's benefit for our Canadians.
The Prime Minister was found in conflict of interest by the Ethics Commissioner. He found him in conflict of interest, and the Ethics Commissioner also commented that the Prime Minister and his people were not they didn't cooperate with the investigation as much as he wanted. And then there were also the parliamentary committees that wanted to hear from the Ethics Commissioner, but the Liberal members of the committee voted against that. So we still don't have all the information out there. And one reason why we don't have all the information out there is because the Prime Minister and the Liberal government didn't want a full hearing and all the questions asked and answered. They blocked it. They got in the way.
So this is you said, and this is most of other people said. But for me, just like I said, okay, because I don't have more information. I read the news, but there are not too many other evidence or other information. Okay, so for this part, that is why I said, okay, it's very hard for me to make any recommendation or talk some things about it, because I truly don't have the too many information. So I cannot judge it. You understand?
Because of the situation with Meng Wanzhou, the two Canadians, Michael Spavor, Michael Carbrake, who were being held in retaliation for that in China. There's also the Hong Kong democracy movement. There's 300,000 people, Canadians living in Hong Kong, who are very concerned about their civil rights in Hong Kong. And there's other issues of human rights with China as well, the Uyghur Muslims in Xinjiang. And there's been criticism of the approach that Justin Trudeau took over the years, taking a lot of donations from Chinese, very rich Chinese people, and not thinking of the other parts of the community, the Hong Kong community, the Taiwan community. And now we're at this point where we've got this friction between Canada and China that, that didn't exist as much before. And of course, Richmond has a very large Chinese community, mainland Chinese community, but also the Hong Kong and Taiwanese community that have their voices too, and they're concerned about human rights in their homelands. What are your thoughts on
the
issue of China?
And for this part, okay, just like, okay, it's directly related to my, my background. Okay, I'm a first-generation immigrant here. And when I was here, okay, my wife, my daughter, my two daughters and me, okay, love Canada so much because of the, okay, we feel freedom here and we can speak whatever we want to speak and we respect each other, and the multicultural in Canada is very, very important, and we feel how important it is, and this is my family and all of our Canadians enjoy about, and in my mind, okay, no matter okay what happened in the world, but the first thing is, okay, the human rights, no matter, okay, should be respected, should be respected the human rights. This is for sure. We should respect the freedoms of the people. This is for sure. And maybe there are different issues, maybe there are different things happening in the world, but some basic values, I think we should have the common basic value. We should have the common basic value, and for the things happening out of Canada, I think okay the other government, okay the other government, no matter okay the Hong Kong government, the China government, or Taiwan government, okay, I think okay maybe they have their own wise men and they have their own solutions for their situations, and but in Canada, we enjoy the freedom. We enjoy the freedoms given by the Charter of Freedom and Rights, and I enjoy it, and I'm so happy we are the multicultural in Canada. This is truly is our strengths, and I love it.
Will you speak out for human rights for Canadians, like Michael Spavor, Michael Carvery, who are suffering in China, and will you speak out in favor of the Canadians who are living in Hong Kong, who are very fearful of the Chinese government invading Hong Kong and putting people in jail? Will you speak out in favor of them?
For this kind of the situation, we need because okay, almost everything. Everything and every issues at the different period of time or at the different situations are totally different. So if I talk about something, if I speak out of something, the first thing is okay. This is directly related with my career. Okay, I would like to look at it. I would like to doing my own research. I would like to collect information by myself, and based on my judgment, use my value, use our Canadian value, okay, to do what I think I should do.
But those are your basic values as they apply to Richmond and to Canada, but what are your values as they apply to China, and your thoughts on the situation in China and Hong Kong?
I think okay. Just like I said, okay, I'm Canadian, and for the past 20 years, I focus on the Canadian issues and the Canadian economy and the Canadian. I focus on my business locally. So almost for the past couple of years, okay, I focus in our Canadian. So right now, okay, hopefully I have the opportunity. Okay, I have this opportunity. I can brighten my eyes and focus on the whole world. But previously, all of my time focus on the Canadian economy, focus on the job opportunities here, and focus on the the policies in Canada. In the future, if I'm elected, okay, for my background and for my knowledge, okay, I would like to learn and would like to learn and bright my eyes in the future. Yeah.
That was my interview with Stephen Koo, the Liberal Party of Canada candidate in Richmond Centre. The federal election is October 21st. For more information on candidates and registration, go to elections.ca.
I, Justin P.J. Trudeau.
No!
Sunny ways, my friends. Sunny ways.
Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, on March 27th, 2019, at a Liberal Party of Canada Cash for Access fundraiser in Toronto.
That we invest in the middle class and in people working hard to join it. Thank you very much. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you.
People in Rossi Narrows are suffering from mercury poisoning.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you very much for your donation tonight. I really appreciate the donation to the Liberal Party of Canada. And as we know, the Liberal Party is filled with different perspectives and different opinions, and we respect them all, and our commitment to reconciliation continues to be strong and committed, and we will continue to engage. Thank you, sir, for your donation to the Liberal Party of Canada. I really appreciate you being here tonight. Thank you for being here. That is why we are moving forward on reconciliation in a real and tangible way. Thank you, sir. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for highlighting how important reconciliation is. Thank you for being here tonight, sir. Thank you very much for your donation to the Liberal Party. So, as I was saying...
I, Justin P.J. Trudeau...
No!
Sunny ways, my friends. Sunny ways.
The virtual Nanaimo Bar brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting. Every week, we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo bar to a person or group that has made a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to Peter Speck, the founder of the North Shore News. Last Friday, staff, past and present, gathered at the Two Lions Pub to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Canada's most successful community newspaper, the North Shore News. I was privileged to be part of the news family from my 1990 internship to the year 2000. We can all thank the original publisher, Peter Speck, for giving North and West Vancouver, from Deep Cove to Horseshoe Bay, its own newspaper. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of October 6th, 2019. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on October 6th in 1987, Fiji became a republic? Rebravaka Nakalu Kadoka Natui. Fear God and honor the Queen. That's the Fijian motto. Apologies for my Fijian language skills. But Fiji is the reigning Rugby Sevens Olympic gold medalist for men. They won the first Men's Olympic Rugby Sevens gold medal at Rio 2016. Now you know. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit thebreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. patreon.com/thebreakernews. Until next week.